Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
My name is Amy Atkinson, and you're listening to 11, the official theatre podcast.
Hello and welcome to 11, the official theatre podcast that brings the biggest stars and creatives together in one place to discuss life in the arts. It's time to kickstart a fourth season with an Olivier nominee and an OG queen. She's currently starring as Vivian Ward in the original West End production of Pretty Woman the musical, alongside Danny Mac as her Edward, a show that features Jerry Mitchell at the helm. Before that, she originated the role of Catherine Howard in the West End production of Six, and of course features on the now infamous and record-breaking soundtrack. She's also appeared in musicals including Zorro, In the Heights, and Legally Blonde. And if she doesn't have enough on her plate already, she's also one of the founding members of the band SVN, alongside some of her fellow queens of Six. So here, in an exclusive episode to kickstart season 4 and direct from backstage in an actual theatre, it's time to discuss reigning long over the queendom as the OG Catherine Howard in Six the Musical, including that record-breaking cast album and its 200 million streams, plus how she helped input into things within the show that are actually now seen globally, and why she's totally jealous of the new superstar Broadway version, including that one opportunity that would bring her back to the show. We also discuss her starring role in Pretty Woman the musical, why she felt nervous working with superstar director and choreographer Jerry Mitchell, being back inside a theatre to perform live for the first time since the pandemic struck, why she tried oh so desperately to get out of performing live on ITV's This Morning last month, more about the debut single from her incredible all-female group SVN, and perhaps when we might be able to see an album from the superstars, plus that one thing she's most looking forward to when the curtains rise in the West End. So, are you ready? It's the all-round incredible Olivier nominee. It's Amy Atkinson kickstarting season 4 of 11, the official theatre podcast. To meet with current restrictions and to stop the possible spread of COVID-19, Amy and I connected for this conversation digitally, so please forgive any brief moments while we wait for the internet to catch up. Enjoy. Season 4 of 11, get ready, as it's Olivier nominee. It's Amy Atkinson. Hi, Amy.
Oh, hello there.
I'm so happy to see you. And I should say for anyone, obviously, this is a podcast, so they can't see you as I can, but you're in actual theatre. I cannot believe I'm actually having a discussion with someone that's doing theatre. I mean, I don't even want to talk about COVID, but let's just talk about the fact that theatre is back, things are happening, and there's audiences. And it's kind of quite overwhelming to talk about it, because I feel like all I've done for the last 15 months is talk about how terrible everything is and how miserable everything is and try and find good, but you're actually making that thing called theatre. Before we talk about this career and everything and all the amazing things that you've done, let's just address the fact that you have a background which is in a dressing room. You're doing live theatre this evening. Does it feel amazing?
It does. It's such a surreal feeling, like being here, you know, the lights of the mirror are there, the tannoy's on. Yeah, it's really surreal. But it's really, really magical. Like last night we had our first, so we're doing the show Must Go On. Mm-hmm. So there's like 18 West End shows. They're all coming together and we're all singing a number. And then there's like this big end number that we all sing together. And as soon as it finished, the whole audience in the Palace Theatre just went whoom, and you could just feel like this amazing energy. And yeah, it was quite emotional, actually. It's amazing to be back. It really is.
Was it quite strange? Were you nervous when, you know, the sort of opportunity to walk on and actually return to theatre with an audience? Because we're so used to doing it behind a lens and a Zoom, where obviously you get feedback, but it's not quite the same as doing it with an actual audience.
Yeah, I was not going to lie. I was actually quite nervous. And I don't actually really get that nervous. I'm quite cool, calm, collected. But yesterday, I was like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? But stepping back out on that stage again and, just seeing people staring back at you was amazing, but yeah, quite nerve-wracking, actually.
I don't want to get sort of too D&M to start with, deep and meaningful sort of this early on, but because when you step out of something and you stop doing what you're so used to doing sort of as part of a rhythm for pretty much all of your professional career, do you then get nervous or sort of self-doubt the fact that, can you do it when you go back? You know, is the voice going to work? Are you going to still love it? Does that actually happen?
I mean, you have those thoughts, don't you? Of course you do. Like, I've not been doing 8 shows a week. Yes, I've been lucky enough to do some stuff in this time, but it's not the same as doing 8 shows a week and like building up the stamina. But I think it will be fine. It's just working back up to it again, because we were at the peak of everything. You know, I just started in Pretty Woman. We'd just done 3 months of rehearsals and, you know, intense stuff. So I was just firing on all cylinders. Whereas now, it's been a year and a half in my living room. Do you know what I mean?
And you said stuff. You've been doing a lot of stuff. I mean, you've been doing all those Zoom dance classes and singing and everything. You've been keeping everybody sort of the love of theatre going and entertained, which is much to your credit. And I know that a lot of people, that has been a lifeline. And as much as it's been fun, and obviously there's been a business side to it, I can imagine for you, it's also been a lifeline for you as well to sort of keep part of the industry, even when the industry is sort of stopped.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of those things that we started just, me and my housemate Gribby, we got asked to do like a coffee morning sort of thing with London Theatre, and it was really, really fun. It was the first time in the first lockdown that we felt like we had purpose and we had something to do, and people really loved it. So we just continued to do that. And then that's when we started the dance classes. And not only was, like you're saying, it was amazing for the people that were coming to the class, giving them something to do every week, but it was for us as well. It was amazing for us to have that stability and to have something to look forward to. And it just kind of escalated from there and, became like a really positive, force in this time. So it was really lovely.
Did it sort of make you tempted to become a full-time dance teacher, or are you going to stick with what you're doing?
I've done it my fair share of dance teaching in my time, Will. But I mean, I think, you know what? I've had a really lovely time teaching. I used to do it back in the day when I was really young. I had like my own school, and I had, you know, I had 3 other schools that I used to teach at. So I was quite full on back in my time. But I haven't done it for so long. So during the pandemic, teaching again and having that one-on-one connection with students and stuff was actually really, really lovely. And I thought, this is something that I've kind of neglected to give back. I know when you're in theatre, we are always giving back because it's such an amazing experience. But to do stuff like that was actually, I thought, you know what, that's really important and something that I want to continue doing. Probably not every single Saturday, 2 classes, but I'll do my best.
Are you surprised, or, you know, was it an enjoyable surprise that to see the different types of people that sort of partook in the classes? Because it seemed from social media that there was every sort of size, type, race, age, sexual, like, it was amazing just to see how people just wanted to connect, not just with you, but just with the sort of the world of theatre. I thought that was amazing.
It was an amazing time, actually. We didn't know when we put that first dance class out if anyone would come. So when we just couldn't believe it. And like you said, there was so many, the age range was ridiculous. And, you know, we started off doing lots of sick stuff, but then we progressed on to other stuff. And I was thinking, you know, maybe people will drop out. Maybe they just want to do the sick stuff, and, you know, that's cool, that's fine. But they didn't, they stayed with us the whole time. So yeah, it was really, really lovely.
Can I just say that if you did a Pretty Woman, Your Beautiful dance class, I would have attended that one because I'm obsessed.
Well, we did do Luckiest Girl in the World, and yes. I didn't see you there.
I was at the back like I always was at school.
Of course.
I like to think I can dance like loads of people. I also like to think I can sing, but people very quickly correct me on that. So I'm going to leave fantasy. I'll leave it to you. You're very much the expert. But we mentioned Pretty Woman there. So let's talk about the fact that you are once again a West End leading lady in literally a box office smash. Like, it's crazy. Like, I remember talking to Simon, who's a very good friend of mine, who's the press representative for Pretty Woman. And he was like, I mean, I'm sure he won't mind me disclosing this, but just saying, like, it's gone nuts, like literally crazy. Does that add to your excitement, or does that make you go, holy fuck, now I've sort of got to be really amazing? Like, how do you approach it?
I knew it would do well because we love the movie, right? It's a part of our, I don't know, it's in us. I don't know. Everyone loves that movie. So I knew it would do well, but I didn't expect it to be like, someone gave me the figures the other day and I thought, are you joking me? I had no idea. And now we've got, you know, we're moving to the Savoy. But you know what? I don't feel the pressure because I feel like it's such a good show. And I've seen it now. I watched it on a DVD and I thought, oh, do you know what? It's actually quite good, isn't it? So no, I get it. I get it. People love it, you know.
And it's also sort of really important to point out that it's not trying to be the film. That's why I think it's so successful, is that it is a standard. Obviously, it's, of course, inspired by the film, but it does very much stand on its own. And you have a very famous person musically involved as well, who I can imagine getting to sing those songs. I mean, just must be like such fun. Like, I'm rocking out every night.
It's so cool. Like Brian Adams and Jim Vallance, their score is ridiculous. Like, I couldn't have hoped for anything better. Just the combination of them and the movie and like the iconic lines is just, I'm living the dream. I really am. I was, but I'm going to live it again.
It's like a TBC. You are, you're not, you are going to. It's every type of ism thing. It's going to happen. In terms of, I guess, your relationship to the film beforehand, were you obsessed?
I wasn't like an obsessive, but I loved the movie. I don't know what you call it, but just everyone knows it, everyone knows the lines. But my co-star Rachel Wooding, she is an obsessive. She knew everything about it. I felt so much pressure. I was like, oh my gosh, like I love it, but she's obsessed. But yeah, it's just fantastic, isn't it?
So how was it the first time you got the opportunity to slip into, of course, that famous red dress, which you look phenomenal in? I mean, you look insane. I always think when you get iconic pieces of clothing that are obviously replicated for the stage, that it must be impossible to be able to reach the sort of the height and the level of what people expect from it. But actually, I can imagine when you get to wear that, you do go, I feel bloody brilliant. Like, you must feel amazing.
I do. But there's always that pressure, isn't there, I think? Because they're so iconic. Like, all of those looks are just like, oh my gosh, it's this one, you know. Oh my God, it's the white shopping outfit. Oh my God, it's the black boots, whatever it is. So, I mean, the costume, they've made them so well. And I do feel fabulous. I'm not going to lie. I do feel great.
The beauty of this show is that it's, of course, directed by Jerry Mitchell, who has brought so many of my all-time favourite sort of movies to the stage. Of course, Hairspray, but also Legally Blonde, which I say, and anyone that listens to 11 rather regularly will be sick of me saying this, but I think Legally Blonde is one of, if not the greatest stage adaptation of a movie ever. I think it's just, it's almost on par with the actual original film. It's so good. So to be able to work with somebody like him as well, you feel like you're in safe hands.
You do. I agree with you as well about Legally Blonde. I just think that's absolutely genius. I love it so much. And that they should make that into a movie musical, but that's a side note. Anyway, I was really nervous to work with Jerry just because he was a massive fan of Six.
Okay.
Like a huge fan of Six and a huge fan of Catherine Howard. He used to like send me pictures and videos of him like in his house, like doing All You Want to Do in a wig and all sorts. So I thought, oh my God, like I hope I live up to like, I don't know, do you know what I mean? So I was really nervous to meet him. But he's fabulous. And he's so, what's great about him is he's so full of like positivity and energy and love. And he's like just great fun. Do you know what I mean? He's great fun to work with. And it's just so easy and just great fun. Yeah,
definitely. I'm so glad that I'm not the only person that sends you videos dancing to Six. I'm glad there's someone else.
Oh, right, you and Jerry,
You mentioned there about sort of enjoying it and pressure. And I actually think that for anyone that doesn't know, Amy performed recently on This Morning and it felt like a homecoming for you. But
oh,
I guess,
my God.
Just judging by the reaction when I said the word This Morning, you were like, no, it didn't feel like a homecoming. It was awful.
Oh, my God. I was so nervous. I can't explain to you. I was going to say between you and I, but this isn't between you and I. This is between you and I and everybody else, but who cares? My worst nightmare is singing live on TV. And when I got this job, when I got Pretty Woman, I thought the worst thing they could do to me is make me sing I Can't Go Back, which is like, you know, the 11 o'clock number. 11, 11, there you go. on live TV. And I was begging them when we got the call about This Morning. I was like, please, can we pre-record? please. So I was absolutely pooing myself. But once it was done and I didn't fall down, I didn't say anything stupid and I didn't, you know, crack on any notes, I thought, you know what? I'm so glad I did that, because yes, it was amazing, you know, for the show. It was amazing to be with the girls again and you know, do all of that. But also for me, it just made me go, oh, do you know what? I can totally do this. I don't know why I'm so nervous. It was great. It was so much fun and everyone was so supportive and lovely. So it was all my ego. That's all.
I don't know why you were nervous, because it was so good. Like the acting was amazing, but just like the placement and the fact that your belt was so foreign. I was just like, oh my God, she's just got it. I was like, sort of like, yeah, sort of like, I think at the time I said something quite rude. I was like, yes, bitch, you get it. Like, yeah. Like,
I love,
you know
that.
What I mean? You're like, yeah.
I love that.
Because it is one of those songs where it's such a good song, but you can tell as an audience member, and this is very much a positive, that it's quite hard to sing. You sort of go, yeah, okay. You sort of feel like you're working for it. And that's why I think it's so impressive when you deliver it and just with absolute ease, like you do. In terms of getting to perform on national television, and of course, again, I know we referenced the film, but like that's another opportunity for you to separate the film from the musical, which I can imagine in terms as an audience, you know, people watching it, I imagine a lot of people went, oh my God, it does stand alone. It sort of gets rid of any of the naysayers as well that perhaps haven't had the opportunity to come see the musical yet, which I think again is such a huge positive.
No, you're right. I think it was really good that we did that particular song, even though I was obviously pooing my pants. It was really good because it is one of those numbers that you go, oh yeah, it's great. And it stands alone outside of the movie. So you're so right about that. I think it showed, you know, we did the little scene before and everyone got, you know, the iconic lines and all of that stuff, but also they got to see a little glimpse into Brian and Jim's like amazing score. So that was really cool, actually.
How are you watching yourself back? Are you the sort of person that can feel quite comfortable doing it? No. Okay. No.
My friends are like, you gotta watch it, it was great. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, obviously I saw bits and bobs on the old Instagram that people tagged me in and stuff, but no, I can't do it. I'd just pick it apart.
Are you the same with albums? So for example, do you ever listen to Six?
I have listened to Six. I was really proud of Six, to be fair. I thought, oh, actually, that's quite good. The only thing about Six I always think is that when we recorded the album, we'd only done the show six times or eight times or something like that. And it was right at the beginning. And so we weren't, I think it's great. I do think it's amazing. Don't get me wrong. But I hear it and I go, oh, that's not what I ended up doing. Yeah. When we finally did like the big fancy production and we toured around the country and all of that and then came back to London and it really like progressed on. But as a standalone album, I am really proud of it. But I can't listen to my own album. Absolutely not. Can't listen to any of that.
Well, it's a good job that like 100 million plus people haven't listened to it. Oh, no, they have.
Can you cope? Can you cope? Like, I saw that the other day. Someone said it's like 200 million something or other. I didn't even understand that number. Craziness.
I interviewed your lovely friend Natalie, who of course is in Six with you, and I sort of said to her, I was like, what's it like having the Beyonce money off the album? And she was just like, 200 million people, how do I even understand that many people? And I was like, I don't know.
I can't believe that. I can't believe it. What's going on?
It's crazy. It's great, and it continues to grow. And I think it's actually, just to sort of nerd and geek out for a second, I think it's a good observation that you made about the fact that it's a studio recording. It's not a cast album and it's also not a live album, you know. And I think I wish more people would do that. I really do, because it gives us a glimpse as to, it feels separate to the show but also feels like, obviously, of course, is connected. So I wish more people would do that. I think it's cool.
I was always hoping they'd maybe do like a live recording. I think that would be really, really cool. You never know, maybe they will in the future. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's standalone, but obviously majorly connected. But there's so many different things that you hear in the show that you don't hear on the album, and you know, vice versa.
It's interesting to see how things develop. Of course, it's impossible to predict the future and know what's going to happen and different iterations and stuff. But it's is it interesting for you, just while we're on the topic of Six, to see how the show has changed? Because you were part of so many. I remember coming to see. It was one of the previews just before the first run in town. And then I went back to see it later on when you were there with my friends. And then I saw the Broadway version. It's like they are similar but very different. And it must be nice for you just to see our project that you worked on from the beginning has evolved.
Yeah, it's. I went to see it in the little gap between the two lockdowns, whenever that was. And so I went to see it when they were at the Lyric. And it was really surreal watching it because... It is very similar to when I did it, but it's so fancy. It's so fancy now. They've got their Broadway set and they've got all their fancy costumes and stuff. And I just went, oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I totally get it. I've never seen it. So when I saw it for the first time, I was just like, I get it. Yeah, it's really cool. But yeah, seeing it like translate all over the world is weird. It's weird. Like, we had no idea it would do that. You know, we were just doing an Edinburgh show. I don't know. It's just so surreal.
Have you seen any of the American production? Because obviously that's noticeably very different because of the accents.
I've only seen like the odd little bits on, you know, if it pops up on your feed and stuff like that. I haven't delved into it all, but I would love to go and see it. I'd love to go over there and actually watch it. I think that would be incredible.
Stephanie J. Block, who of course was in Wicked just before Idina Menzel, tells this amazing story about how when she was doing one of the first workshops, before they'd even really brought it to a workshop of Wicked, where she messed up the lyrics so much that she just sort of made something up. And that's actually in the show now, where it's sort of, when you then go and see the show, are there bits that you go, well, I actually did that, or I sort of made that creative decision, and now that's a thing they're doing in like, was it like 10 productions or something crazy?
Yeah, there's little bits in there. I think it's weird when you watch, yeah, when you've like created something and then you watch other people play that part, you're like, oh my god, it's so weird. Obviously, what's amazing about Six, I think what is incredible is anyone can play those roles. It doesn't matter, you know, shape, size, ethnicity. It's fabulous. So I think that's an amazing thing. So I've never seen anyone and gone, oh, they're doing the Amy version. Like, it's always so unique to the performer, which I think is really cool. Because I think when a lot of shows, you kind of have to look a certain way or sound a certain way. Whereas I feel like Six is a bit more inclusive, and you can kind of, as long as you're sassy as hell, you can do whatever you want, really.
Six, sassy. That's not
Six,
two
sassy.
Words.
Yeah.
No. Does seeing the I don't even know what the correct word to call it is, sort of like the Broadway glow up, shall we call it, does seeing that make you want to give it another go? Would you ever consider that?
I'm very jealous of the costumes. I'm very jealous of the wigs, because as you know, I had to dye my hair pink for 2 years. I would give it another go. Maybe like a different queen, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe, potentially.
Maybe the Broadway production. Maybe that could be the tie-in. We could send you there.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
Although I do think, you told me that your back hurt all the way through that show, doing all those whips. So maybe your back will have something else to say. Maybe, Amy, don't do it.
Maybe I'll be too old by the time they ask, if they ever ask me to do it, and I'll be like, I can't. I just can't. My body won't let me do it anymore. You never know.
Something that's amazing that's come out of your time in Six is a little group that you've created, which is very exciting. And I see all over my social media, literally the reaction has been insane. So also, can I just check, am I saying it right? Is it called Seven? I know it's going to, how do you say
well,
it?
Well, we were called Seven at the beginning, and then we changed it to SBN because we thought it was sexy.
Okay.
So now we're SBN, so people still call us Seven, and it's still, you know, connected to Six.
Yeah.
It's got that kind of, but it's SBN.
I like that, you know, because I suppose, right? it's clever in that it's a play on words, but it's also standalone, which is like, you know us from this, but now we're doing this. And it's like, oh,
right.
Okay.
And we should say that
we should say that it's an amalgamation of the original West End cast members and the lovely Grace in there as well, who was, of course, a fantastic alternate. So you get all of your faves, which you've seen on there. And you guys have released some music, which means that we get to hear those voices that we're so used to singing one thing, now singing something else. So tell me about this first single. It's very good.
Oh, gosh, so much to tell you. So, yes, we released a song called Queen, which is a cover of Jessie J's song, but it's like an SBN arrangement of it. Me and Natalie are the musical department. So we arranged this song, and so we've released this song. It's kind of like our precursor to maybe then like do our own thing, which might be coming, you know, very soon. But yeah, it's really, really exciting. We've had an absolute blast, and that's one of the most amazing things that's come out of, you know, this year, is that we were all free, so we could all do that. We always wanted to do it when we were in the show, but we were so busy, and then when we all left the show and all did our own things, we could just never ever get together and make it work. So actually having this year has been a really positive experience for all of us, because we've got to do what we always wanted, which was create this thing.
And was it because you've had the time together in the show, therefore does that make it easier musically to be able to know perhaps what works for one person when you're writing, what perhaps works for someone else? Does it sort of make it a little does it make the process a little bit more organic because you know what works?
Yeah, it's so easy. Like if we're all in a room together, we know exactly what harmony we're going to go for. Like we know, we just know each other's voices so well. And so when me and Natalie are like arranging the songs, we're like, oh yeah, that's a JJ line, or that's Grace, that's Millie. It's so quick and it's so easy. And the same for like when we're rehearsing and Millie and JJ do all the choreography and they just know like what suits our bodies. And yeah, it was such an amazing thing when we did the first show, we did the reunion, that we just did it and it just happened. And we were like, wow, that was really easy and really, really good fun. And we don't want to stop doing it. So yeah, it's been an amazing experience.
And is the plan, you mentioned obviously the possibility of an album, and I will of course let you keep that secret, but is the plan to is to continue? It's not just going to be one song, we're going to keep going and sort of take over the world.
Yeah definitely, absolutely. Those are things that in the pipeline that we can't wait to like just get it all out there and show everybody what we've been up to. Yeah, it's really exciting.
It's very exciting. And I love the fact that we get to experience you in a different setting, obviously, in the world of music. And if anyone's wanting to see a little bit more, get to hear a little bit more, obviously learn more about the creative process and the ways that you guys write and create, there's also an option for people, I believe it's through Patreon, to be able to see a little bit more as well.
Yes. So we started Patreon, which is an amazing platform, especially for like emerging artists, because it's a way that fans can connect to them. But also for us, it's great because we can use, you know, the Patreon money to fund our projects, you know, writing sessions or getting the studio, which is a lot of money. So actually it's a really cool way that we can you know, have this little community that's like our community, and then when we go on to doing our live performances, they reap the rewards. So it's very cool. So yeah, patreon.com/SVN band if you fancy joining our little crew.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
This isn't too far away from people listening to this from a little sort of international song contest called Eurovision. And this was one of the things I told you before we started talking that I know that you are connected to in a way. So this is something that I didn't know. So I want you to educate me about the fact that you were involved in the wonderful world of Eurovision. So for people like myself that have no idea, can you tell me what happened?
One of my biggest dreams is to represent the UK at Eurovision.
Oh my God, I love it.
I don't know why I'm laughing. It's a proper solid dream that I've had since I was a child. Me and my mum used to watch the Eurovision every year. I auditioned, but really I wanted to do it with the girl group that I was in, Goldstone, which you know. And So I did my audition, and at the end of my audition, I was like, do you mind, my girl group are outside. Do you mind if they come in and audition? They were like, absolutely. So they came in and we ended up doing the, you know, they do the Eurovision You Decide program where they decide who's going to represent. I don't know if they do that anymore, actually, but they did. So we auditioned for that, we got through, but sadly nil pois. They didn't want us, Will, but you know, it could happen in the future, you don't know.
Well, exactly. And also you've got a group there, you've got a huge audience, so you've literally got two girl groups now to pick from. I mean, literally double the trouble, double the fun. So therefore, yeah. I think it could happen. I think it would be amazing to see you on an international platform like that. And also, if anybody, and I'm saying this officially on record, if anybody knows how to turn on the camp, it's Amy Atkinson. So come on.
Exactly. I'm all about that life. All about it. We need a bit more theatricality, I think, in the Eurovision from the UK, personally think.
I agree 100%. I actually think, you know, not that my Eurovision expertise knowledge is too great, but I think that's what we're missing. I think it's good, but I don't think it's fun enough. I think if you go back to the days of Scooch, you know, hello, fun, camp, like that's what people want. So I think bring on the sort of the staginess. Let's go wild.
Yeah, I think so. Just some drama, you know?
Yes.
Need the drama.
Although I will say that Lucy Jones was, of course, amazing, and she was very dramatic.
She bought the drama.
And she did well. She got on the left hand side of the board.
That's the best we've done in ages. And I think, I mean, she was fabulous. She was fantastic.
anyone that's sort of thinking about coming back to the theatre, I think the one sort of worry that people have is just about, you know, how safe is it? How do the people on stage feel? How is, I guess, the vibe? Like, what's the vibe like in the world of theatre? For someone that's literally in the middle of a run returning back to the West End, how are you finding it?
Well, it's so safe. I was not shocked, but it's so, so we're in our dressing rooms now. We can't leave. And we've all, every time we leave, obviously we have to get masked up. We've all taken tests every day, and we get escorted down to the stage. We have to stand on a particular spot, so we're not like near anybody. And then we do our thing, we go on, and then we again get escorted back up to the dressing room. So it's very, very safe from like a backstage point of view. I just think they've done it really, really well. They really, really have. I feel great. I feel safe and secure, and I feel everyone else does. So I think anyone listening to this who's thinking about coming back to the theatre, it's safer than getting on the tube. It's safer than, you know, walking around the streets, because everyone's so cautious. And it's really, really brilliant.
How is it in terms of stage door? That's obviously not a thing at the moment.
No, it's not a thing at the moment. I guess slowly maybe it'll be introduced back in, because I know that's a big part of some people, you know, the theatre goer experience, is, you know, meeting people back at stage door and stuff. But yeah, at the moment it's not a possibility, which is understandable.
Yeah, totally. And I think as the months and weeks go on, and as you know, once Pretty Woman comes back and there's opportunity for people to come see you, and of course your lovely co-star Danny Mack, who is incredibly good in that role, big shoes again to fill, and he absolutely smashes it. But I guess sort of my last question before I let you go be a West End superstar again is just, what's the thing that you're most looking forward to when you and the red dress get reunited once again?
Oh gosh, so many things. Firstly, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody again, as in my castmates and everyone backstage and all of that. I'm really looking forward to opening at the Savoy. That's so exciting. But I think the most, it's just that feeling, you know, when before, you know, the curtain opens or before the orchestra starts, it's just that moment where you hear the audience, like, from a backstage point of view, you're backstage and you're waiting to go on, and you can hear like the rumbling of the crowd, and then it kind of like gets really, really quiet, and then it starts. It's almost like people know it's about to start. It's, do you know what I mean? When you're sitting in the audience, it's suddenly like hushes, and then it starts. That's what I'm really looking forward to, that moment.
It's literally almost indescribable. Like, I literally hope that there's a way that, you know, all these musicals can capture that moment and what it's like. I don't know if that's through a film or through anything. And I'm sure social media will, you know, your social media and everybody involved in the show will be able to capture that on the night, because it is going to be like starting again in the best possible way, with a familiar faces and a familiar show. But just good luck with that at your new home of the Savoy Theatre, which is a very, very special venue. And I think it's just going to feel perfect, particularly for this story. So good luck. Thank you so much for your time today. I absolutely adore you, so I'm so grateful that we got the opportunity to do this.
Thank you for having me.
And most importantly, good luck with your show tonight.
Thank you so much. I can't wait.
You've been listening to 11, the official theatre podcast. Find out more about 11 at 11podcast.com or via the Broadway Podcast Network.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.